Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Kim Davis. It's Wednesday. Remember, we're on a different day this week because of a couple of other commitments. We go back to Thursday next week, unless you guys like Wednesday. But welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. A lot to talk about on this week. Chester Pitts, former offensive lineman for the Houston Texans, and he's doing some pretty spectacular things off the field. So we're going to talk to him about some of that. I think it's just amazing the work that he and his wife are doing. And we're going to talk about that and what drives him to give back in such a large way. And then we're also going to talk to him about the building of an offensive line. Okay, because he was an offensive lineman, and there's been a lot of talk on this show and just around the league about the offensive line play. And so I want to talk to Chester's going to talk to us a little bit about the building of an offensive line. And he's also going to talk to, we're also going to talk a little bit later about, of course, the Houston Astros. Man, they look good. You know, they blanked the Mariners last night 7-0. They look good. They're back at it tonight here at Minute Maid Park. Hello, Lacey from Atlanta. Welcome, welcome. Always good to have you on the show. And the Astros are playing. Listen, I'm excited. I've already, you know, put in my credential request for the postseason. Don't want those deadlines to pass me up. The postseason will be here before you know it. This is the Astros. This is their last stretch of home games during the regular season. They actually end their regular season on the road. So they play all this week and tonight again at Minute Maid Park. And then they play host. Let me see their schedule. Let me go back to that. Anyway, I'm going to bring up the Astros schedule, but this is, listen, it's a fun time to be a Houston Astros fan. You know, this time last year, it was also a really fun time being a Houston Astros fan. The Astros won the World Series, the first ever. And, you know, they could repeat. You know, it's not going to be a slam dunk and be easy. But things are looking good for this Astros ball club. So we're going to talk about the Astros as we go on in the show. And we'll talk about your teams around the NFL until Lacey's here, until Chester joins us. You know, if you're a Houston Texans fan, or if you're a Houston resident, you're not feeling so great about your football team right now, I'm guessing. I'm not saying that you've thrown in the towel, but they're 0-2. And it just hasn't looked great. Because I'm doing the show on Wednesday, I'm missing this week's news conference with the head coach, Bill O'Brien, and Deshaun Watson. But I'll pull up the video when we're done, and I'll listen to see what I missed today. But they have not looked great. They have looked okay in spurts. They look out of sync. The offense is really leaving a lot to be desired. And speaking of offensive lines, this Texans offensive line has really, well, it's just not been very good, right? They've given Deshaun very little protection, and he hasn't looked great either. And so it's interesting. I was talking to someone the other day about the Texans and the offensive line, and I said, you know, it's almost like, you know, Deshaun has taken on some of Bill O'Brien's, I don't know what that is. And, I mean, he has to be responsible for, obviously, the mistakes that he makes. But last season when he was a rookie, and granted, he didn't know as much as he knows now, but he played a little more, he was more creative. He played a little more freely and maybe even more confidently. And not that he seems as though he lacks confidence. He just seems uncertain. So maybe he played with, you know, more certainty, even though maybe he should not have. I don't know. It's hard to peg. But it's you know, I'm not counting him out, right? I think he's a good ball player, and he'll be, you know, I think he'll be okay, I hope. But you know, Bill O'Brien has struggled with his quarterback since he's been here, and now you have one that has talent. And so I don't know quite how to put my finger on it. Maybe, and it's not that you have to simplify the offense because he's not that smart. I mean, he studies, he knows the game. All that stuff about Deshaun Watson is very, very true. But it's how he's being coached, how this offense is being coached, and it's how bad the offensive line play is. I mean, it really is bad. So when we talk to Chester, who's going to come on and talk to us really about this facility, a treatment and a state-of-the-art treatment facility that he and his wife have funded and built for, you know, for kids who have, you know, been abused or have been victims of human trafficking. It's a pretty amazing story. They've donated about $4 million of their own money to build this treatment center. It's called Carson Park. So we're going to talk about that. But because he was an offensive lineman, we're also going to talk about the offensive line. Hello, Eunice. Welcome, welcome. Eunice is just glad we have the Astros. I know, right? It is super I'm really glad we have the Astros. And guess what? We're not too far from the NBA season starting. In fact, next Monday is media day for the Houston Rockets. So that means Monday's media day, and by Tuesday they'll be starting training camp. And in another couple of weeks, they'll start preseason. So this is always my favorite time of year. I mean, it's fall. I mean, almost fall. And although it may not feel like it outside if you live in Houston, you know, we have the NFL, even though the Texans are not looking superb. They're not even looking. They're looking kind of mediocre and kind of, and then on some days and at some points in the game, they're just looking bad. But we have the Astros, who could very well be on their way to another World Series championship and at the very least an exciting postseason run. So I'm glad to be in a city that has such exciting sports happening all at the same time. And there's a lot of college sports going on this weekend. Texas A&M, of course, I'm going to talk about Texas A&M. I'm an Aggie. They travel to play Alabama, and that's going to be tough. We'll see if they can build on the loss, although I hate the whole moral victory idea, but the loss they had at home to Clemson, which was a hard-fought game, and they were in that game until the very end. So, you know, can they build on that? Can Jimbo Fisher get this team to take the next step in his first year? How good will these Aggies be as they compete in the SEC West, which is a very, very difficult division in football, right? So good morning, Chris Sunshine. Welcome, welcome. I hope you are feeling better. So glad you had your Jinka turmeric paste to help you recover. So what is on your mind? Chester's going to join us, I imagine, shortly. Let me see. I'm just checking to make sure he's not having a hard time getting on. And but he could do that. I'm sure he'll be joining us shortly. But there's some things that I want to talk to you about. So as you have watched around the National Football League, what has surprised you the most? Has it been the play of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers behind Ryan Fitzpatrick in the first couple of weeks while Jameis Winston serves out his suspension? Has it been for your Saints fans? I know a lot of you Saints fans are here in town. Is it that? I mean, is it the play of the Saints defense or the lack of play? I was talking to my aunt is here in town, and I was talking to her yesterday about, she's a big Saints fan. She's from Louisiana, and you can't really be from that state and not be a Saints fan. And she was at the game last week and said she was really disappointed that the fans started to boo Drew Brees. Now, who would have thought that New Orleans Saints fans would be booing Drew Brees, the guy that brought him he spent a lot for that community, but he brought them an NFL a Super Bowl, right? That's what was Drew Brees. It was under his, you know, kind of leadership on the field. But you know what? It's always about what have you done for me lately. So you have that. Are you surprised by what you've seen from the Houston Texans? I think most people thought they'd be better. And let me back up again as I talk about the Texans and say that when they lost against the Patriots, not many people would have picked them to win that game, but I don't think anybody picked them to look the way they did. I think that's what was so disappointing, is how bad they looked. Then they traveled to Tennessee, and you thought, okay, well, they should be able to win this game. You got Blaine Gabbert starting at quarterback, Mike Vrabel in his first year as head coach. Mike Vrabel last year was defensive coordinator with the Houston Texans, and before that he was a linebacker coach, came in here under with Bill O'Brien in his when he first came to the team. Hey, Tony, we could talk about those Cowboys too. But who would have thought they would have gone to Tennessee and look like that? I think that's what's really surprising. You know, I think that's what's surprising is that they struggled against the Tennessee Titans. Tony Dale, who is a self-proclaimed, avid, very proud Cowboy fan. You know, the Cowboys are, I will give the Cowboys this credit, Tony. Their defense has definitely improved. I'm not really sure about your offense. And you did beat the Giants last week, but the Giants are bad. The Giants are not very good. Their offensive line isn't a whole lot better, if at all, than the Houston Texans. And it may be worse, I don't know. But the Giants are not a very good team. Eli Manning does not look great. And so combine that with the fact that the Dallas defense is better. But that Dallas offense is not looking super great. I knew you'd say, how about them Cowboys? I'm telling you about them Cowboys. Be glad you play in the NFC East, you know, because that's not a great division. But look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Look how the Eagles have looked coming out. The Super Bowl champion, the reigning Super Bowl champion, they haven't looked great. They're in the NFC East. The Redskins are in the East. So, yeah, how about them Cowboys? I just don't know, but you guys hang in there. And keep supporting Jerry Jones and his shenanigans. One thing I can say about you Cowboys, you guys are loyal, and you see things that oftentimes the rest of us do not. So we will see how the season progresses, and we'll see what happens. Is it October 7th that the Cowboys come to Houston? Let me check and see what that date is. The Cowboys will play the Texans at NRG Stadium. I believe it's October 7th. And that should be interesting. What is it? Where are we? October. Yep, it's October the 7th. It's a Sunday night game. Cowboys play here at the Texans. And should be interesting. So this is what's on tap for the Texans right now. The Texans, of course, lost to the Patriots in week one. They lost to the Titans in week two. They were on the road for the first 2 weeks. Now they come home to play the Giants at home on this Sunday, the New York Giants. The Giants are not very good, so the Texans playing at home should have a, you know, they need a win. They're both 0-2. Now the team wants to be 0-3. Somebody will be after Sunday's game, but the Giants will come into NRG Stadium to play this weekend. And then the next week, the Texans will go to the Colts. So, listen, it's early in the season, but what you can't afford to do is get too far behind. I mean, you can't afford to start, you know, building up a bunch of losses. So, Tony, you already have a prediction? Dallas 21, Texans 17. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens in a few weeks. We'll see. Is your guy Dak going to be okay? You think Dak is going to be okay? 21-17. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, we're a few weeks away from that game, but certainly that game will be a sellout at NRG Stadium. There will be a lot of Cowboy fans in the building. I think the last time the Cowboys came, Tony, during the regular season or was it preseason? I think it was a regular season game. Anyway, it was just kind of a ruckus, you know. It was a bit of a ruckus atmosphere, if you will. And so hopefully when they come to town this time, we won't have all that, you know. It was like stuff happening in the parking lot. I believe the Dallas game, the last time they came during the regular season, is why the Texans have the new rules they have. You have to have a ticket to get into the parking lot. It's all the rules changed, and because of the Cowboys and their fans when they came to town. I tell you. All right, so I'd like to talk about something else. What are the teams, let me ask you guys, what are the teams that are surprising you the most as you look? I mean, New Orleans is 1-1, Atlanta is 1-1. They play this week. San Francisco's 1-1. Okay, here's a team you should talk about, Kansas City. Now, the Chiefs look good. Patrick Mahomes looks amazing. Now, it's early, and I think it's too early after just two regular season starts this year to just, you know, to put some kind of crown on him. But he has like 10 touchdowns through the first 2 weeks. I mean, the Chiefs, now, in all fairness, he has a lot of weapons, right? He has a lot of weapons. The Chiefs, that's a good football team. But he has looked really, really good. So Kansas City has been winning impressively. They play San Francisco this week. Oakland is 0-2. Do you think they miss Khalil Mack at all? I'm just wondering. They play Miami, and Miami's 2-0. Buffalo's 0-2. Yeah, they're bad. Minnesota is 1-0-1. And then now Indianapolis and Philadelphia each 1-1 play this weekend. Green Bay and Washington each play. They're 1-1. Cincinnati is 2-0. Carolina's 1-1. They meet this weekend. Tennessee is 1-1 thanks to winning at home over the Texans, and they will travel to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is 2-0. Last week they beat the Patriots, and we talked last year about how good the Jacksonville defense was. It got them all the way to the AFC Championship game. That's a legitimate team. Chester's trying to join us, and let me see if I can help him. Is there another way? One of the things, while you've probably noticed a couple times when we've had guests for the first-time guests that join us on this platform, it's a little challenging because they think you can kind of jump on it. You've got to download a couple of things. And so you should it takes a minute. So he's trying to get with us. He's in the process. I think you should have to do. Anyway, so we're going to keep rolling. He's en route, if you will. He's en route. Denver is 2-0, and Baltimore is 1-1. They play at Baltimore this weekend, and the Chargers and Rams will play, of course, in Los Angeles. The Rams are 2-0. The Chargers are 1-1. So the Thursday night game is Chicago at Arizona. Arizona is 0-2 and got shut out last weekend. So Chicago's 1-1, and I mentioned Khalil Mack, who is no longer with the Oakland Raiders. He is a Chicago Bear, and he has, he looks good. Let me just say that. I'm still surprised that they traded Khalil Mack. So the Rams, yeah, beat Arizona last week 34-0. What's my take on Josh Gordon going to New England? You know, I think it's a good shot for him. I think it's a good opportunity for him. Josh Gordon is, when he was in Cleveland, they tried to give him the support. It just didn't quite work out. Maybe he needs to be with a more established, mature team, a more established quarterback, which you certainly have in Tom Brady, a coach who, you know, is strong and structured and solid and just with a proven kind of a track record and history. Maybe that's what he needs. If he's got something left, and maybe that's the place for him. I don't know. I mean, I hope that he has his act together, because I think that's what's most important. But I think that could be a good place for him. So I don't know. What's your take on Josh Gordon going to New England? There's still, and let me ask you something. You're a Cowboys fan. Are you surprised that Dez Bryant is out there? Dez Bryant, who is, I think he may have overestimated, you know, what his value on the open market. Okay. All right. So Chester is going to be able to join us in a moment. He's able to get on. He'll be here in just a second. So Dez Bryant, you're a Cowboy guy. So your thoughts about Dez Bryant? I know you got to have some thoughts about him, right? I don't know. I've heard people say that Dez Bryant, the Texans should sign him. I think we all know that there's no way the Texans sign Dez Bryant, right? There's no way he becomes a Texan. Although the Texans could use another receiver. They could use another receiver. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's early in the season. We're only in week 3. Nobody should be giving up yet. There's a lot of season left. But every week's a big week, and every game is a big game. Pardon me for a moment. All right. I got a little choked up there talking about Dez Bryant. I see Chester in the lobby. He will be joining us shortly. Tony says he needs to hurry up. He's talking about Dez Bryant. And not Chester, of course. Yeah, I don't know. I think that Dez Bryant is probably a surprise, more surprise than anybody, that at this point he is literally on the sideline. Hoping a contender will pick him up. I think it would have to be a contender, because if you're going to take a chance on Dez Bryant, it's got to be more of a veteran team where he can come in and fill kind of a specific void, and probably, you know, a team with a veteran quarterback. That's going to be important. You're not going to go to one of the teams that has a younger quarterback who's still kind of finding his way, just because of, you know, because of who Dez Bryant is. So in a minute, because what happens when more of the season is behind you than in front of you, your chances become a whole lot more limited. So, you know, Dez Bryant, I'm sure still has some playing time against him. I mean, his season last year in Dallas, it wasn't his finest. It didn't look like he always gave the best effort. And I think a lot of teams up. I think we lost Chester. He was almost there. I saw him trying to get in. But he'll have to try again. Anyway, hello, Pamela Nelms Martin. How are you? How are you? You know, Pamela, Saints fans could blame you for how they played last week, since you were in their neck of the woods. Because they, you know how it is. We're always trying to blame somebody when your team doesn't get it, and your team doesn't look good, and just doesn't look like. doesn't look like they can get it done. Chester's still trying to get in. I'm going to send him another little tip that might help him. All right, so we're talking about the teams around the league, players that are surprising us. I think the quarterback that is probably most surprising people is Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. I think people are really surprised with what they're seeing with teams like New Orleans, maybe even Arizona. I don't know if they're real surprised, but, you know, I think Tampa Bay has been a big surprise early. Pamela says, who that? I know, right? Tampa Bay has looked you know, they're 2-0, and they're 2-0 with Jameis Winston on the sidelines, serving a 3-game suspension for some more off the court questionable or bad behavior. They're being led by Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's right, you heard me, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, of course, spent some time with the Texans a few years back, then went and had a pretty good run with the Jets. I mean, he moves around a bit, and it looks like, you know, what you get from Ryan Fitzpatrick is you get a few good games, like a few really good games, and then it kind of tapers off. So maybe this is the season, I don't know, but he'll start again in week 3 because Jameis Winston is still suspended, and I'm sure that when his suspension is over, he being Jameis Winston, he will get back in the starting lineup. I say that, I'm not positive, but that's just kind of my thought. Hey, Kim Edwards-Williams, peace. My girls are on. It always makes me excited to see all your familiar faces. And that you guys are coming over to the Kim Y. Davis page. This is where I have to have the show. It's difficult to, doesn't pop up on my regular page. So thank you guys for supporting and coming over to this page. All right, so what else is big? Chester's still trying. He's coming. We're going to wait for you, Chester. You can do it. Okay. So anyway, so one of the things that we're going to talk about when Chester gets on, I want to talk about the work that he and his wife are doing. As I said earlier in the show, they spent about $4 million of their own money to build a place called Carson Park. It is a state-of-the-art treatment or a center for foster children in Houston. And it has it's really nice. It's a really nice facility. It's got a library. In fact, the library inside is dedicated as the Barbara Bush Library. It was the last library she dedicated her name. You know, she was really big into reading before she passed away. So they're really proud of the library, but just the whole facility. And I want to talk to him about what made he and his wife take this charge. I mean, I think it's amazing supporting, you know, foster children and you know, there's such a need for that. A lot of abused kids are there and kids that come from are victims of human trafficking. Houston and Texas are really high on the list, unfortunately, with the problem of with human trafficking. And when I learned that several years ago through just some volunteer work that I was doing, I was really surprised that Houston was had such a big issue with human trafficking, sex trafficking, and all of that. So that's what Chester's going to talk to us about when he gets on. And he's also going to talk to us about offensive line work, right? Building an offensive line because he was an offensive lineman. And one of the things that, you know, in the preseason, when people kept asking me, well, Kim, what do you think about the Texans? And I kept saying, they look pretty good. I mean, it's training camp, it's preseason. They didn't give their starters a lot of time, a lot of reps, right? That's kind of what people do in preseason. So then it's almost as though when the regular season starts and you've been resting your starters, now they are just getting their live reps, right? And whatever you do, you know, the live action of it, the live reps of it is makes a difference. So I said all along, we need to see how good this offensive line can be. You know, there's a lot of new parts to it. I'm not really sure. And as we see in live action, there's a lot of work. I mean, Deshaun Watson's not getting a lot of protection. I mean, he helps them because he does have the ability to move a bit. And so, you know, the offensive line is going to be really, you know, key to how well this offense plays, and this Texans offensive line is not the greatest. Pam says there's a major corridor for human trafficking is 1960 on the north side. Really? It's really interesting. So Chester's is not able to get on. He said, let's try it again next week. I don't know. We'll have to, I'll have to give a little tutorial with him so he'll know how to join us live on the platform. I could get him on the phone, but it's not the same. You know how we have our guests where you could actually see them. So we will we will do, he says technology. We'll get Chester next week to come, so we'll plan for him joining us on next week. But you're right, Pamela, a lot of the human trafficking, I didn't know that. That was a major area. It was on the north, 1960 on the north side. I wonder why that is. But when I'm just always, one, I'm always, I don't want to say amazed, but appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that there are people doing real work, and, you know, we don't always hear about it. So when I do, I want to share it with you. And so the fact that he and his wife have taken this on, I think, oh, it's close to the interstate. Good point. The fact that he and his wife are taking this issue on, I mean, there's so many issues. And so one of the things I encourage you to do is find yours. Find something that's close to your heart. Find something that you'd like to do, some place that you can sow into and help and be a part of something positive happening. And it doesn't have to, I mean, you don't have to have $4 million to build a facility. You know, it's great if you do, but, you know, there are probably things you can even do in your neighborhood or maybe in your community, you know, where you live. It may be as simple as, you know, is there some kids, are there kids around you that maybe you could read to or you can talk to about, you know, if you're a business owner, you can talk to young people about, you know, businesses, or talk to older people about businesses. You know, maybe there are people you can talk to about living more of a healthy lifestyle. You know, there's all sorts of things we can do. Maybe you can go read to somebody. You know, maybe you have an elderly neighbor that you can check on, or sometimes, you know, just visit them. You know, let me tell you guys this. If you don't know this about me, I really do enjoy the grocery store. Not all grocery stores, but I really, you know, I'm a foodie. I like to cook. And so I like the grocery store. Central Market's one of my favorites. And I was in there one day, and I'm looking down the aisle for the olive oil. And there's a lady there, and she starts talking to me about olive oil. And I kid you not, we had a 15-minute conversation. She actually had the conversation. I listened about olive oil. Now, I was not that interested in it, but what was clear to me is that she wanted to talk. She was, you know, a little older, and all I could think was, you know what, maybe nobody has really talked to her today or in the past few days. So I let her talk to me about olive oils for about 15 minutes, literally. Not, it felt longer, but it was about 15 minutes. That's a long time, okay? It was a Saturday, and so then we went our separate ways, and, you know, and I felt like, okay. But I will say I did see her on another aisle, and I kind of turned and went the other way. I felt I'd done my part, okay? So I did. But, yeah, Kim Edwards says there are so many ways to share the love. Just pick one. Just pick one little something. And it doesn't even have to be where you have to get a bunch of people and start an organization. Just go do something. And so I think in this time right now, one of the things I encourage us all to do is, what one something can you start doing today? Pick something that you can start doing for yourself, and pick something that you can start doing for somebody else. You know, I always close the show by saying, do something kind for yourself and for somebody else. But really give that some thought. You know, we are at a time right now where everybody needs something. We need compassion. You know, we need understanding. You know, sometimes people just need a hug. I'm not saying just go around hugging strangers, but that may be your thing. I don't know. But there's always something that we can do. And so I ask you to pick that. And now you know the thing that you definitely still have to do. We have to get people registered to vote, okay? I haven't even mentioned the fact that you've got to get registered to vote today, you know? Eyebrow Energy Job Development and Sharing Skills. Now, you know, we've talked about it. Kim Edwards Williams. And Eyebrow Energy. You've heard me talk about it on this show, and we are going to have her as a guest to come on and talk about her job development program, the training that she's doing, and creating opportunities for people who are unemployed, underemployed, undereducated, you know, any of those things, maybe need a second chance because of a record. There are any number of ways that this particular skill, this business opportunity, these skills that she's training people with can be helpful. So we've got to schedule that show. She's coming up on anniversary, her big anniversary for her business. So maybe in the next week or two, we'll get Kim to join us for an interview. I think you've seen her before, always out doing work, she and her husband. So definitely we will do that. But listen, if you are not registered to vote, you have until, I keep saying the end of September, just because I don't want you to wait until like October the 6th or 7th or 8th, you know. I want you to get registered now, because this time right now is very important. You know, we have to be registered. And if you're already registered because you have been, you know, you've been doing what you're supposed to. Hey there, Beth, welcome. Thank you for being a part of the show. Get registered, get somebody else registered. Now, you know, I never tell you who you should vote for, but I do say you should vote and you should be an informed voter. So if you're already registered, great. Go out and get somebody else registered to vote. Get five people registered. You know, get five people registered, and maybe you guys do some voter education stuff, you know. Figure out who is running, what they're running, what they claim to do, what they stand for, what's their background, and are they a good fit for the needs of to meet the needs of you and your family and your community. I mean, that's to me how we should vote, right? We have to vote the things that are going to make our lives better, our family lives better, our families' lives better, our whole community better. And it may mean different things. I think we basically want the same kind of stuff, you know, opportunities. We want good health. We want some access to health care. We want health care, many of us. I know I'm in that bunch. And we just want opportunities and a place that we can exist better. And, you know, get back to being more communal, because, man, right now we are kind of at each other. So one of the things you can do is to vote to get people in office who will do the right things, who will make the right decisions based on what's best for everybody and not just best for them, and them keeping their jobs. So we still have time. You know, I'm always encouraging you to vote, encouraging you to be active, but I want you to be an informed voter too. That's really important. There are a lot of, if you're in the Houston area, there are a lot of judge seats that are open. There's a lot of activity happening with judges. So you need to start looking ahead of time. Check them out. See what they stand for. What's their platform? You know, because when you get to that booth on voting day and there's all these people that you don't know, you just kind of start picking them randomly. And at least you're there. So I appreciate you being there. And you should give yourself a pat on the back for that. But we also have to be informed voters. So my encouragement is, make sure you get out and that you get registered to vote. Get somebody else registered to vote. Pay attention. Be an informed voter. And, of course, figure out one thing you can do to make an impact. And an impact doesn't mean, it's not about how big or small, but do something for somebody else. You know, maybe there's a kid in your neighborhood who could use some help with their homework. You know, you see them kind of out a lot. Maybe they could use, you know, maybe they could just use another. Sometimes they don't want to, you know, they don't get certain things from their parents. Maybe they can get some input from you about, you know, who knows, their school, you know, an idea to start a little something on their own. I don't know. There's any number of things. And really pay attention to senior citizens. You know, they really do struggle with sometimes depression because they are alone, or they don't have many people to talk to, you know, or any, you know, their health is not great, but they really, really do enjoy sometimes just sitting and talking to somebody. They don't get a lot of that. And if they're a real, real senior, a lot of their friends may have already passed on. I've seen that a lot. I mean, that's the case with my mother. My mother's 87. And so a lot of her friends are not here anymore. And they really do need somebody to talk to. So I encourage you to do something for somebody around you, in your community, maybe in your family, maybe in your neighborhood. You know, it doesn't have to be anything major. You don't have to join some big group. You may just go out and just do something. So I encourage you to do that. Beth says, think small. We tend to think we have to do something huge to make an impact, but we got to think small and it will create a ripple effect. That's absolutely right. Think small. We don't think like I've got to be a part of a board or start an organization or I've got to spend a lot of money. Just do something small, because if we all do a little something, then we will get a whole lot done. Hey, Heaven's Angel from Kissimmee, the former home of the Houston Astros spring training facility until they relocated. I've been to Kissimmee several times. I hope you're having a good time. It's sunny, I imagine. It's sunny Florida. So thank you for that, Beth. You're absolutely right. We should think small, and it will create a ripple effect. All right, everybody, I promise you that we're going to get out of these shows. My goal is 30 to 45 minutes each week, and so that I can get more of you here live. I ask that if you will, please share this video and share the video so that we can continue to build the Chalk Talk community. You guys are officially all a part of my tribe. I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the way we grow it is by sharing the video with people who may not see it live, but they'll come back and see it later. And so then maybe they'll come on and join us next week, and then they'll share the video. You get how that all works. So thank you for being a part of this week's show. Over the next few days, I'll be covering some Astros. Of course, I will be at the Texans game this weekend, so you can follow me for updates from the Texans game. I may be at TSU's game on Saturday. They're playing at the University of Houston, so you know I don't really do University of Houston athletics, but I do cover Texas Southern, so we'll see about that. And that's right. Thank you so much, Chris. Vote, share, be the difference. That's a great, great way to end. So make sure that you follow me. If you're not a follower of this Facebook page, please follow it so that you will get updates and you can also get notifications about the show. Follow me on Twitter at Kim Y Davis, and follow me on Instagram, kim.y.davis. Have a great week, everybody. I'll see you next week. Remember, do something kind for yourself and something kind for somebody else. Have a good week.